Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friend. And if you're here for the very first time, welcome home. This is the place to be if you wanted the unvarnished truth about what it takes to succeed as a woman entrepreneur, whether you are replacing your corporate paycheck or building your empire. And today is our birthday. Exactly 1 year ago today, we recorded the first episode of Life After Corporate. And I'm so grateful for you hanging with us and sending us your great comments and the reviews. I appreciate you so much. In Life After Corporate, we not only give you the best strategies and advice to succeed in building a sustainable and profitable business, but we also share with you the tools and resources for you to step into a bigger version of you by removing obstacles like self-doubt, procrastination, and imposter syndrome. And today you are in for an amazing conversation with my guest who is going to help you dig deeper into what may be holding you back from more fully enjoying your business, your life, and being the woman that you long to be. Dr. Valerie Raine is the author of Patriarchy Stress Disorder and the creator of the only science-backed system for helping women achieve their ultimate success, happiness, and fulfillment by healing hidden trauma. You will be blown away, my friend, by the insights that you learn today. So if you're listening in your car or you're on your treadmill, you will definitely want to download and keep this conversation to refer to again and again. So without further delay, welcome Dr. Valerie Raine.
Thank you so much for having me, Deb. So excited being here and on the birthday of your podcast, no less. So auspicious.
Yes. Well, this is a very special conversation because I remember it's probably 3 or 4 years ago now where we were in the same conference room at a women's entrepreneurs event in New York City. Before you made the big move cross country. And it's great to reconnect with you now.
Yes, likewise.
So I have been binge reading Patriarchy Stress Disorder on my phone for the last 24 hours. I'm about 2/3 of the way through. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I am blown away by your insights. I think it's the mirror that women need to have put in front of them so that they can finally see themselves for the first time, understand what has been holding us back for so long. And it just connected so many dots for me where I understood some things that were inherited in my past, some experiences that I had in my present. But why don't we start by you defining trauma for us so that we can all be on the same page, because not everybody sees trauma playing in their lives.
Yeah, beautiful. I did not either. And I was already a trained therapist with 2 graduate degrees. So if for our listeners, if you think of a combat or some violent events, when you hear the word trauma, you're not alone. That's how the patriarchal definition is set up. And the advances in the field have been really broadening the definition because the human experience is full of events that may be minor, but they leave some deep grooves in our system. And the way I define trauma is any experience that made you feel unsafe, physically or emotionally, in your fullest authentic expression, and led to creating trauma adaptations.
So in your book, you mentioned 3 different types of trauma. Can you share those with us? Because I think that's what really connected the dots between the ancestral, the collective, and the individual. What do you mean by that?
Right. Yeah. And again, we may think about trauma in terms of our own life experience. And the world is a pokey place. If you're human, you have trauma. If you just think about, oh my gosh, the fullest authentic expression, when did I ever feel safe in that? And chances are that experience is due to ancestral and collective trauma. We were already born into this invisible inner prison of trauma and trauma adaptations. For example, for women, it has never been safe. Well, it has never been safe to be a woman in the world, period. It has been particularly unsafe to be a visible, powerful woman who dared to know her authentic desires, who dared to reach for them. Women like these have been burned at the stake, locked up in asylums, which, by the way, is not ancient history at all. That persisted well into the 1960s in the US and the UK, among other places. So there's so much trauma that we have inherited generation after generation. And there is very exciting, eye-opening research about that, that actually shows that these experiences are genetically transmitted. And speaking of collective trauma, because, well, here we're having this conversation, we're both in the US, our listeners may be in other places in the world, but still having access to a device, having access to free speech and enough money to afford internet connection. There are women in places in the world that are experiencing dire violations of human rights, whose lives are threatened. And even in, you know, sadly and shamefully in the countries where we are, women are suffering from trauma that is quite deep and life-threatening through partner abuse, etc. And every time that we become aware of it through news, through social media, that a woman is suffering basically on the basis of being a woman elsewhere, something in us gets triggered because we're all interconnected, and something in us, in our deep subconscious, gets reminded, oh, wait, right, as a woman, I'm not safe. And this is very ancient memory thread. This is not something we may believe consciously at all. All this lives in our subconscious. You may be really confident. You may be really self-assured and know that you are consciously safe. And yet, something in our subconscious signals unsafe at the slightest provocation. And we may have no idea what's going on, but we know, we see the results of these triggers.
You know, it's so funny. I sometimes think of it as the minor traumas, the traumas that are the hidden traumas in modern day women. It's almost like the story of, you know, a frog, when you put a frog in the pot and it doesn't know it's being cooked because the heat gets turned up gradually and gradually. So some of the examples that you mentioned in the book that rang true to me was being in a home where there was anger, right? So anger was an unsafe emotion, especially for a child, you know, when you need your environment to be safe. And growing up with a narcissistic father and a mother that was full of fear. And you mentioned similar stories in the book. But when you're in that environment, you grow up in that environment, you think of it as normal. You don't know that it's not. And so then the patterns persist. So, you know, just to be fully transparent with my listeners, you know, I ended up in a marriage with a man who had anger issues, who was verbally abusive, who was narcissistic. So I would love for you to share a little bit about, you know, some of the hidden traumas, you know, that are not as obvious. So when therapists were saying to me, oh my God, you've experienced trauma, I said, what are you talking about? I've never been raped. I've never been physically abused. But we tend to discount the emotional abuse. And the microaggressions and things like that that happen in the workplace. So tell us more about the hidden traumas that we might not be thinking of as traumas.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for bringing this up and being so candid and open. I experienced the replaying of my trauma in a corporate setting. And here's the thing about trauma. When we experience something, it may be in our personal experience growing up. It may be ancestral in nature, maybe in inherited adaptations playing out. It has a way of showing up in our life again and again. In the events and circumstances, it's like they're giving us an opportunity to uncover and heal it. Now that we're older, we have more resources. And, you know, cut to the chase, we can heal trauma, right? The preview of the coming attractions. And so the way it was playing out for me, and at that time, I didn't know that it was my trauma being triggered, because just like you, I didn't think I had any. I had a pretty normal childhood, right? Quote unquote.
Yeah.
Pretty normal, ordinary kind of life. And then I got a boss who was emotionally abusive, and she would just, she would just berate me in her office again and again, like day after day, week after week, and in really deeply cutting ways. And my reaction, my embodied reaction, was going into fight, flight, freeze, trauma responses, which I didn't know what that was at the time. And I would just either collapse and start crying, just the same reaction I would have as a child when my dad was yelling at me. Or I would just like freeze and just sit there and kind of check out, just get out of my body. Or I would start fighting back, arguing and defending myself. So all the same reactions that I experienced as a child with my dad yelling, and all of that was playing out in my adult life, unbeknownst to me. And so what happened was I actually went away for a week-long training, which I thought was, I was going for purely professional purposes to learn some mind-body techniques for healing anxiety and depression. And I had no idea that these techniques were trauma release techniques. And by going through this training, I released trauma out of my body I didn't even know was there. And when I came back, I was sitting in my boss's office once again, and she unleashed her abusive tirade once again. But this time, I was not triggered. I did not go into fight, flight, or freeze. And I just sat there and I listened. And I was like, this is not okay. This is not okay. I just let her finish. I got up, put my hand on the door handle and turned it and stepped over the threshold, went to my office, packed my stuff, emailed HR, and I never went back. And that freedom, that is what becomes possible when we heal trauma. And in terms of relationships, that plays out all the time. I'm thinking about, you know, one of my clients whose story is actually in the book, and how she really wanted to attract a partner, an equal partner into her life. And she just kept dating guys who were not on her level, but she didn't see it. Her mind was interpreting her heartbreaks as, oh, I couldn't make it work with this guy who was already kind of not at my level, wasn't as ambitious, wasn't as connected emotionally and spiritually. I need to lower my bar even more, was her conclusion.
Oh my God.
So you can imagine the train wreck that ensued. And when we got together and started working on uncovering and healing trauma in her family, like outside of PTSD, right, that affects us all, but in her family as well, like she did not have that mirroring of her worth growing up. Her mom was pretty disconnected emotionally, and she never got that reflection that she is worthy, and she is beautiful, right? All of that stuff that we need, we pick it up from others growing up. And she would have never interpreted it as traumatic. Nobody overtly abused her, but they didn't reflect her worth either. And so she grew up with that empty space inside where she did not know her worth. She really didn't. And her work situation reflected that, as you could imagine. They just dumped all the work on her. She never heard the word of praise, and she was underpaid. And as we started healing, uncovering and healing this trauma, everything changed for her. She met a guy who actually saw her beauty, her worth completely unconditionally. And she tried to sabotage that relationship many times. Thankfully, we kept on working on those trauma defenses that just, the trauma defenses are so terrified to go there. Right. Because it contradicts that early childhood experience or inherited experience. But we kept working through that, and they're in a beautiful partnership. They ended up getting together and getting married. And her work situation transformed in kind as well. She found a job where she's very valued and well-paid, and really her worth is reflected back to her. So this is why we need to understand that if something is not working in our lives and we're just scratching our heads or maybe banging our heads against the wall in therapy and self-help and reading books, it is not you. It is not your fault. Chances are there's trauma in the system that lives in the subconscious. And according to neuroscience, our subconscious actually calls the shots. It makes the decisions for us. The conscious mind just catches up later to rationalize why we're going for this versus that. And that awareness and subsequent healing opens up the life of freedom and really unlimited possibility.
I'm so glad you told that story because, you know, when we do have these hidden traumas, they do play out in all aspects of our lives, right? And how we treat ourselves, how we treat our bodies, our relationships with significant others, our relationships with power forces at work. It was so funny that you said that too, because I had gone away on a silent meditation retreat for 10 days and I was working for a man who was very data oriented, and I'm very much a creative. And I was also older than him, and he was having trouble controlling me. And so he would put me on these performance improvement plans. Now, I'm a top performer, been at this company for nearly 20 years. And finally, I just looked at him and I called him my name and I just said, you know, at my age, fear is not a motivator. And I just, you know, it was shortly after that that I made my exit and started my own business. But the women that I work with who are launching their businesses, right? So they're making the leap from corporate, whether they've aged out, they've burned out, or they just have a passion to do more on this journey to entrepreneurship, it kicks up all your stuff, right? So if you have a hidden trauma, it will express itself. So, and I loved in the book how you called this the worthlessness. So it comes out in how much we allow ourselves to receive financially, how much you charge for your services. So in the book, you mentioned that you use this metaphor, the prison, that this keeps us in prison. So what are some of the manifestations of being in this prison? How do you recognize that your hidden traumas have been triggered?
Yeah, that's a great question. And some of those you've mentioned when a woman transitions from an environment where patriarchy issues her a paycheck and decides her worth, literally. Right?
Literally,
This is how we evaluate your gifts and your time to, okay, I'm out of there. I'm free, technically free to set whatever bar I desire to set for the monetary expression of my worth. And also it shows up in time, not only money, but how much time freedom I can allow myself to have. And it goes a step further. How much I can allow myself to enjoy the fruits of my labor and my life and my good life. And this is what I'm seeing very often with women we work with, is that they have good lives. They have built beautiful things either in their careers and in their businesses. Oftentimes, they're tremendously capable. They've proven it beyond the shadow of the doubt. And it manifests in a couple of big overarching ways. One is that they feel there is more to what they desire to express in the world, but they can't quite get there. Sometimes they don't even know what it is exactly, but they have this nagging feeling there is more that they want to authentically express in the world. And another way is that they are in touch with their mission. They are showing up and playing big, and they have good lives, but they're not able to fully enjoy them. So they find themselves on that emotional hamster wheel and feeling pretty disconnected from their partner, or maybe they're not in a partnership and they have trouble, you know, even imagining how they would be in a partnership with somebody who is their true equal. And if they have kids, feeling challenged there too in terms of connecting and being playful. And in their relationship with themselves, is looking in the mirror and experiencing their beauty unconditionally. And that inner critic, oh my gosh, the inner critic is so strong with women we work with. And it is an expression of PSD. It is an expression of PSD. All these things I'm calling out right now are trauma adaptations. If we think of PSD is this condition where women are traumatized because it's never been safe to play big, to make a lot of money. That was not even on the menu. Or love who we love, be visible in our fullest authentic expression, sexually and emotionally, in every way, and professionally. It has never been safe. So these trauma adaptations are designed to keep us safe. So the inner critic, the imposter syndrome, they're trauma adaptations. Sometimes they show up on the physical plane through hormonal imbalances, energy issues, trouble sleeping, trouble relaxing without a glass of wine or a pill. They can manifest as adrenal fatigue, as autoimmune issues, PMS, PMDD, perimenopause, menopause, everything around the feminine system is really hit very hard because that war against women has been turned within, and we carry that burden, that stress in our bodies. And these, I call them prison guards, these trauma adaptations, they manifest also as in our choices and in our actions or inaction. And we may have been exposed to this, you know, this paradigm around, oh, you're holding yourself back or you're getting in your own way. And I'd like to reframe that with a lot of compassion. We're not holding ourselves back. We are not getting in our own way. Why would we do that? We're brilliant. Why would we do that? What's at play here is our subconscious keeping us safe, because our subconscious has a very different agenda from our conscious mind. As long as we have trauma in our system, the agenda is survival, and it's going to drive the bus oftentimes away from what we truly authentically desire, not toward it, for the reasons of survival. And that, in an essence, in at the core, is what healing looks like, is that shift from survival to thriving. That becomes possible when we rewire the nervous system, we heal this trauma using mind, body, energy tools, we actually reprogram our subconscious mind to move toward what we authentically desire, because that now feels safe and not away from it.
So how do we do that? How do we reprogram the subconscious mind? I was just having dinner last night with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. We have a pod, so we get together every once in a while during the pandemic. And each one of us at the table had experienced trauma. And it was very interesting that two of the people at the table had gone through a healing process or an are in a healing process by experiencing the anger. And it was interesting that my brother-in-law and I never really went through the anger. And I've had therapists who've said, you know, you have to get angry about this. And I always like bridge right over to forgiveness. But, you know, it was ancestral. They know not what they did. It was their own conditioning, their own experience. They didn't really mean to inflict trauma. So talk to us about how you work with your clients to reprogram this conscious mind. Because as if I understand you correctly, the bridge approach doesn't work.
Yeah, well, and thank you again for being so clear and transparent, Deb. The bridge approach is something that actually does work because it enables us to function in the world. It is an adaptation. It is a trauma adaptation that is very effective. Mm-hmm. In the healing process, we are invited to dig in versus taking the bridge over. But a huge shout out to the bridge approach. We all have used the bridge to accomplish the things we have accomplished. Otherwise, right?
We'd be in a ball. We'd be just in a fetal position, not doing anything, right?
Exactly. So yeah, big compassion and huge shout out for the bridge that we've all built at one point or another. And now the invitation to healing. So the work that we do differs pretty dramatically from the work that happens in therapy and coaching approaches. I actually work with my life partner. His name is Jeffrey Tambor. And we met on this journey of bringing this healing to people. And we had been on our own journeys for many years. So we bring together over 40 years collectively between the two of us of experience in seeking out, practicing, teaching, refining modalities for healing trauma that bring together the mind, the body, and energy. And this is really key. We cannot just tap into these areas from the level of talking about them or even feeling them emotionally. We need to get into the body. And that is very protected. So we need a really solid skill set, a tool set for that. And another key component in healing is PTSD is collective trauma. It requires collective to heal it. Something that women discover on this healing journey, we do it in a intimate and safe group environment. They discover oftentimes for the first time in their lives, not theoretically, but quite experientially, that they truly are not alone. Something that they have felt was wrong with them their entire lives, turns out it's not even them. It's not even theirs. And women from all over the world who are in our programs experience the same exact things. And these are all symptoms of PTSD, something that we might have been in individual therapy for years. And that's most of our clients, because they have done years and years of work. They're all seekers. They're all deep divers. And it has brought some good results to them. And then they often find themselves in this place where, okay, I understand what's going on. I'm very clear, but I just can't get there. And it's very, very frustrating. And that bridge from understanding to getting there lies through the body and a safe community that actually gets you. I talked about those mirrors that we all need growing up. We need our unconditional worth reflected to them, to us. And pretty much none of us really gets that. It's a very rare outlier who is like, oh my gosh, like my parents and everybody in my life was just like truly making space for all of my emotions, including anger, right? Mm-hmm. Anger has always been so forbidden and punishable for women. So for your brother-in-law, it may be easier to get in touch with his anger than for you and for most women, because if we go to our anger, then we're automatically labeled the B word, right? We're the angry B. And there is so much prohibition generation after generation in our system to actually go there. And one of the things that happens on this healing journey, we create that safe environment for women to go there gradually, incrementally. One of the key principles in trauma healing is what's called titration and pendulation. We move in a little bit, we move out to safety. So safety is key. We always want to feel safe. It's not about just, oh, blow the lid open and ah. No, that is not actually how healing happens. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes some approaches go like, oh, you just need to express. That's BS. That's BS. I mean, people just go into expression and they spin for years. Yeah, it may make them feel better, but it doesn't actually heal trauma. So there are a lot of layers. Safety is key. Community is key. And having the tools that actually bring together mind, body, and energy so that we can move beyond the level of the mind, beyond the level of the story. We don't always have the story about trauma. There are a lot of traumatic memories stored in the body. We have no awareness of them, not only from our lifetime, but also inherited. But we do experience the symptoms. We get triggered. And the body is really holding the key to accessing them all. And so in our approach, we use that communication with the body directly. We actually bypass the level of the story. So that's how it's different maybe from what maybe our listeners have been exposed to before. That's what we're finding with our clients.
Yeah. And I think that's what I felt too when I read the book, is that this is different. This is not the typical approach to self-sabotage or inner critic work or anything like that. It does go so much deeper. So tell us a story and share with us what's available on the other side. You know, what is the value of going through the deep inner work and digging deep?
Oh, there are so many stories. Our thrivers surprise us every day by showing us what's possible. I call these this jailbreak moments, these shifts and transformations that they create. I sometimes call them 4-minute mile. And the story behind it is Sir Roger Bannister, who broke that record for the first time. Before he did, it was considered humanly impossible to run that fast. And after he did, then a lot of other humans broke that record. So when we in our community break that 4-minute mile, let's say a woman experiences her beauty for the first time, not intellectually, not like, oh, look in the mirror and say, I love you 100 times till you're blue in the face. No, but she actually looked in the mirror. She's in her 40s and she just saw her beauty. She saw her beauty. And that makes me so emotional. She has a small daughter. And I remember seeing my mom growing up look in the mirror. And I have never, ever, ever, ever seen her look satisfied with what she saw. She would start adjusting things and fixing things. And maybe she would get like a brief glimpse of satisfaction when like her makeup was just so in her dress. But still, she was like, oh, I need to lose weight or like, right? And so for me, seeing women experience that breakthrough, that is everything. Experiencing our own unconditional beauty. And actually, later that day when she had that breakthrough, she went out to have dinner at a restaurant. And there was this couple, and she was by herself. And there was this couple, and the woman was just looking at her and looking at her. And after the dinner was over, she came up to her. The woman came up to our thriver and she said, I just have to ask you this. What is it that you do and how do you do that? Because you are so beautiful. And that just gives me chills because I want that for every. I want every woman to experience that. I want every woman to be a role model for my daughter. I want to live in the world where a woman carries her beauty. And that's one expression of her worth. And there are so many others that, you know, just on the business level, which is very exciting. We have a year-long program where we actually go into 4 core areas affected by PSD for women. And the first one, the one we start with, is money, reclaiming and healing our relationship with money. Then we go into the body, relationships, and visibility and mission in the world. And so this woman joined our program, and that was a big stretch for her financially, and was a leap of faith. And then in 5 days, she made more money in her business than she had in the previous 3 years.
Mm.
Okay, we did not teach her any business tools and strategies. Like, she came with that. Like, she came equipped. She was already brilliant. We didn't teach her any of that. But what we did do is help her get to the place where she felt safe. She felt safe. Her subconscious was a green light to showing up and getting paid and attracting her soulmate clients who she adored working with. And that didn't end there. Then she like had her bucket list trip with her partner, and you know, and their relationship improved dramatically, and now they're getting married, and she's like, oh my gosh, yes. I have everything I ever wanted, and now my system is freaking out, which, by the way, is really the core of the work that we do. And that's why, you know, in this particular program, we're together for a year. We also have an intro program, which is shorter, but in this one, we are so prepared that every big breakthrough in a woman's life will trigger deeper layers of trauma and will make her feel unsafe. And so part of this journey, a big part of this journey, is making it safe with each breakthrough so that self-sabotage doesn't happen. What Gay Hendricks refers to in his book, The Big Leap, as the upper limit problem.
Yes.
I see it, I explain it through the lens of trauma, because we actually see that healing trauma gets rid of that upper limit problem, or it resolves it, right? It still comes up, but we have an effective way of resolving it by feeling safe. So there is no self-sabotage. You can actually feel as amazing as what you are accomplishing and creating out there in the world, in your relationship, in how much money you're inviting into your life, into your business, and the great experiences. Right. So many stories. My entire life has transformed, as I, you know, share in the book. And it just goes on and on and on. Health transformations, women who have like autoimmune conditions, seeing shifts from theirs, and getting in touch with their sexuality, actually feeling vital and turned on, having orgasms, and all of these toe-curling experiences, right? Like, life becomes... it's like turning up the volume on your life, turning up the color, saturation, resolution. I guess that's how I can describe my experience and our Thrivers' experiences with this trauma healing work.
It's like turning up the volume on receiving, you know? And
yes.
I think it's such a, you have to shift, because women are so focused on giving. We're focused on giving pleasure, giving compliments, taking care of others. And what you're talking about is opening up to receiving a reflection of your real worth, your real value, and experiencing that and feeling it fully. I am grinning ear to ear right now, and I don't want this conversation to end, but I know we both have to move on to other meetings. So how can our listeners keep in touch with you, or how can they work with you if they feel ready to get to that level of experiencing that level of vitality and receiving?
Yeah, a great place to start is drvalerie.com. That's drvalerie.com/book. That's where you can actually download the first chapter of my book as a gift and dip your toes in. There are also book resources right there on that same page, some practices, some meditations that you can start playing with and having that experience. And speaking of experiences, from time to time, we have this fantastic, legendary retreat that we're holding virtually right now. It's called The Thriving Experience. TheThrivingExperience.com is where you can learn more and register. And this is where the theory of what we talked about, what you'll read about in the book, becomes practice. Because just having this conversation, listening to the great conversation that Deb and I are having right now, is not going to set you free. Knowing you're in prison doesn't set you free. It's actually in the work. And the thriving experience is that opportunity to come together with other powerful women from all over the world and actually, yes, have an experience in your body of shifting from survival to thriving and see what it can open up for you. So I hope that we get to play together in one of those. And follow me on Instagram. I mean, Facebook too, Dr. Valerie Rain on both. And I adore DMs. You can always DM me. It's my secret pleasure. I just love being in conversation with women. And thank you so much for joining this conversation today. This is truly, it is life-changing, but more than that, it is world-changing. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
For being willing to look at it.
Thank you, Valerie. And it's just such a pleasure to reconnect with you on this new plane mm-hmm. and hear what you've been up to. This book is a seminal work of transformation for women. I'm thinking about that Thriving Experience retreat. That sounds like a great experience.
From what we're recording, we're actually having it next weekend. So it will be fun to play.
It would be fun to play. So, Dr. Valerie, thank you so much. We'll put all of your links in the show notes. I am deeply grateful for your time here today. And that's it for this week, my friends. See you next time. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.